What's up, everyone? It's Michael Scotto, HoopsHype.com's NBA writer and host of the HoopsHype podcast. On today's episode, Hornets beat writer Rod Boone of the Charlotte Observer joins me to preview the offseason for the Hornets, including the free agent market for Miles Bridges, the trade market for Gordon Hayward, Charlotte's coaching search, and much more. Rod, always good to talk with you, brother, my fellow New Yorker, the pride of Long Island. How you been, my man?
I've been good, my man. Mike, how you been, man?
I'm good, bro. I'm blessed. Appreciate you having on. Like I said, it's always good to read your coverage, and I've been thrilled to see you doing great things at the Charlotte Observer on the Hornets. And brother, I wanted to kind of jump right into it. I mean, this offseason, Charlotte has one of the top free agents. Miles Bridges enters the offseason. As I said, he's one of the top free agents on the market. He's currently sixth overall in our Hoops Hype free agent rankings. I was catching up with a couple of executives, and four NBA executives told me that he can earn $25 million annually or up in free agency. And if there becomes a bidding war for Bridges, he can get a max contract. One executive I spoke to told me Bridges will get close to, if not the max at this point. He's 23 years old and a big wing. Those guys are so rare. If Portland can't trade for Jeremy Grant, they'll probably look in Bridges' directions, which I thought was interesting. These teams with cap space that are debating whether to spend money would probably go for a young wing. They're hard guys to get. Another executive told me I can see Bridges getting $25 million or up. He's got leverage now. The teams that have room are teams that'll have interest in Miles. Rich Paul can figure out a team to give him an offer that Charlotte would have to match. And that executive kind of closed it out with saying Bridges has to fit your style. You know, you see the way that Charlotte plays with that up-tempo style. He's improved so much as a perimeter shooter. I think he's a two-way guy. I like his athleticism in transition. He's got a pretty good IQ. He and LaMelo Ball have a good thing going. So many of their assists are instinctual, where the defender isn't looking and Miles cuts back door around him and gets an alley-oop. I can see LaMelo saying he wants the team to keep him. So that's kind of the gist of what I've gotten so far in talking to the executives. That's kind of where I pictured his market to be. Being around this team every day and getting an up-close and personal look at Miles Bridges, what's your free agent forecast for him, whether he stays in Charlotte or not? And what type of money could we look at for this young rising guy entering the free agent market, brother?
I think what you said is all pretty much true, man. He couldn't command a large salary because, as you mentioned, you know, you got guys like Jaren Jackson Jr., who actually was his schoolmate at Michigan State, getting $100 million contract extensions. I think that Miles kind of that same ilk. And he had, as you mentioned, pretty much a career year. He was one of the top players to be able to improve in terms of scoring, almost about, I think, around close to 7.5, 8 points per game, man, which is, for him was crazy because he essentially became the team's leading scorer. And as you mentioned, so with that being the case, when you're a leading scorer on a team, you should command pretty much the top salary on the team or close to it. And I think that he definitely is worth that $25 million number because, as you mentioned, he's really young, first of all. He's a young player. He's a guy you can plug in a lineup for a good 4 or 5 years, and he's still going to be like in his prime. So the one thing, though, is kind of, as you said, again, his style. The Hornets up-tempo style, to me, is perfect for Miles Bridges because he's kind of grown in that to be up and down the court. He's obviously a leaper, a dunker, but beyond that, the Hornets like to shoot a lot of three-pointers, and he has evolved in that part of his game as well. He didn't finish the season the way he did in terms of beginning the season this year, but you can see like the all-around growth. So his market is going to be robust, but I think when it's all said and done, he wants to remain with the Hornets. And unless for some reason they can't, as you mentioned, can't match the contract, offer sheet that he'll get from some other team out there, I just think he's going to come back because it's unfinished business between, you know, the Hornets and LaMelo Ball and him. And they're like brothers, man. Him, Terry Rozier, all those guys. So I don't think he'll leave, barring, again, a deal the Hornets just for some reason can't, you know, match with a poison pill, these different things. But he wants to be here and they want him here for sure.
Now, you talked about the relationship of him and LaMelo, and I think that's certainly an important factor. You always want to keep your star happy. And in today's NBA, that's one of the most pivotal things. We see it all the time right now, even with Donovan Mitchell, the Ben Simmons scenario playing out. And what's interesting to me, Rod, and you being around these talks as well, Charlotte had a chance to extend Miles Bridges earlier before the season, and it didn't get done. It seemed like they were far apart in terms of those contract extensions. And now, almost by not doing that, this guy's put himself in a position to get a much bigger bag at that point. And, I think in talking with teams around their league, you know how it is, man. When the sharks are in the water and they smell blood, they're going for the kill. I think there are some teams out there that feel they have at least a chance to go after him with a high offer sheet, given Charlotte's, I don't want to say financial restraints, but the way that they've kind of gone about business in the past. You saw them not retain Kemba Walker years ago. Charlotte, when it comes to the luxury tax, is always a team that doesn't really like to go that far unless they're going to have a team that's really going to be something. You know, we've seen them make the change now with James Borrego, which we'll get into later. But, are they going to be able to afford him? I mean, they can't afford him on a max contract, but is that something that they're internally prepared for? Because I think a lot of teams around the league feel that, you know, if they throw a high offer sheet his way and it's close to a max, then things could get really interesting.
I agree. Because again, like I said, as you mentioned, the Hornets luxury tax situation doesn't really coincide with them. They don't really get down like that in terms of going to luxury tax and trying to pay that extra money. But I think this could be a case where when you have a homegrown product, meaning you draft a player, you traded for, you essentially traded SGA for him to be able to bring him in. You groom him for four seasons. He has what he calls basically his brother in LaMelo Ball out there. They coincide. It's one of those things where if there's a chance, if there's ever a time for them to kind of go above the tax, they have to. This could be it, because I think they view Miles as a core piece. And you don't want to just develop somebody and just let them get away, essentially kind of start from scratch. Because the Hornets, their big thing is even though Gordon Hayward signed a couple seasons ago, they don't really get a lot of free agents to come to Charlotte. You know, Kelly Oubre obviously did that this past offseason, but it's been a little bit of a struggle for them to get guys to come here and take their money and play, because it's a great place to live, but it's not by a beach. It's not by a major metropolitan area. You know what I mean? So I think sometimes it kind of gets lost in the fray. So I think the Hornets understand that, and you don't want somebody you drafted kind of get away, because you can't replace that player as easily as my other team couldn't, if that makes any sense. So I think with that being the case, they want to do whatever they can to kind of keep him here within reason, of course.
Yeah, and look, I mean, when they were trying to do extension talks, you know, I think at the time, you know, they were looking to see, you know, is this a guy that they even wanted to pay $20 million at the time? And now you could throw that number out the window. That's going way up. You touched on Gordon Hayward. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if by having to retain him, Gordon Hayward eventually kind of becomes the odd man out. You know, Charlotte's going to need a defensive center. They've got to figure out some things if they want to take the next step out of the play-in and really make themselves a playoff team. They got Cody Martin's next deal that they're going to look at as well. But, you know, like I was saying, right, I mean, with Miles Bridges projected to earn close to, if not a max contract, Gordon Hayward is a name to keep an eye on regarding the trade market. In talking to several executives, Hayward is viewed as a neutral asset who's a good player, but one who's been injury prone, as we've seen over the past three seasons. So, you know, I thought one executive I spoke to summed it up nicely. That executive said, "I'm sure they can trade him. I don't think they'll get off a ton of money. They'll take back players that cost a little less. They overpaid to get Hayward. which they had to do to get him in the first place. And as you've touched on, you know, with how Charlotte has been in free agency predominantly in the past, but they're also paying Nicholas Batum's dead money to sign him. So his effective cost is $40 million because of that. The executive said, I don't think he has a plus value on that deal, and his injuries are starting to add up with age. Maybe you're able to trade him for two guys making $10 to $15 million a year and kind of break up those salaries. I'm sure there'll be a market for him because at the end of the day, he's a really good wing player. I believe that as well. When Hayward is on the floor, he's certainly a good player at that. You know, injuries may have taken away the all-star form, but he's still a good player at that. When you look at Gordon Hayward with Charlotte, and you know, you see all these rumors or at least speculation about, oh, you know, the Lakers with Russell Westbrook and things like that. What do you foresee for his trade market when it comes to Gordon Hayward?
That's a great question, man. I mean, that's going to be one of the things to watch this offseason because, as you said, I mean, is there a really big market for a player who makes $30 million a year, has two years left on his contract at that number, and has been injured, you know, his first two seasons here and hasn't played a full season in who knows how long? I mean, with that being the case, to me, that is a team that either wants to bring him closer to home, like maybe the Pacers, or a team that is in transition and feels like maybe they want to move salary somehow to be able to get to where they want to get to. So I'm just not sure what the market is for him because even though he's a good player, he hasn't been able to be counted on for a whole season, like I said, and who knows how long. So with that being the case, if you're a contender, you're going to trade for him. I'm not really sure it's going to be the case. So to me, and even going back to the Russell Westbrook thing, you know, that's a rumor out there, but where's he going to play? Like, if you traded Russell Westbrook for, I guess, Gordon Hayward with the contract, like, where's he going to play? You're going to put him beside LaMelo Ball, start lineup? I mean, how's that going to work? You're going to put Terry Rozier on the bench? I just don't understand that thinking. So, you know, again, I've been wrong before, man. Maybe it does happen, but I'm just not sure how those things fit together. But you're right. In terms of Gordon, just where he fits, it also will be on the next coach to figure that out as well, because maybe a new coach comes in, thinks he can be the player he wants for his system. Or maybe the coach says, you know what, he doesn't fit. We want to be up-tempo, and he's not really able to handle these minutes I want to give to him, so let's see if we can get somebody else in here for him. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that happens, because he is a piece in terms of salary that you can, you know, try to move and open up some cap space to be able to bring some other players in to help you out, like center, as you mentioned. But I'm just not sure how robust the market will be for him. But we'll see for sure. It definitely will be something I'm sure they probably look to do if they can find the right deal.
You know, I'm in agreement with you in terms of the roster fit for Russell Westbrook. But I think any team that's trading for Russell Westbrook is looking at this as an expiring contract and reset your books in terms of your salary cap. That's what and it's crazy to think of that. There's, you know, Russell Westbrook, this is a guy that's an NBA top 75 player all time, you know, that you're looking at this stage of his career right now, given everything that's happened the past few seasons. What's interesting with Gordon Hayward, when, you know, you try to hypothesize some teams that could be after him, you look at, you know, the New York Knicks came close to being in the ballpark of that Charlotte Hornets deal, you know, when he was looking for a new home, I'm told, but he had already committed to Charlotte at the time, and that's why he didn't end up going to New York. You know, Indiana, as you touched on, was previously interested in looking at Hayward as a trade candidate when they had Domantas Sabonis. You know, now they've kind of pivoted and gone in a different direction. So I don't know if you could look at them there as a fit, but time will tell. It's interesting. And you also mentioned that, you know, depending on what coach they bring in, that could affect things too. Well, speaking of, obviously James Borrego is no longer there now. James, you know, helped his team win more games each year. And what I thought was interesting was, you know, some people in the organization found out James Borrego was fired on Twitter and were surprised by the decision to part ways with Borrego, I was told. You look at the candidates now that have been out there. You know, Mike D'Antoni is reportedly a serious candidate for the job, as ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reported. But given Charlotte's coaching history, and I'm not sure they're willing to spend that much for a guy like D'Antoni. You know, you see Kenny Atkinson, Darvin Ham, Sean Sweeney are all considered top assistant coaches currently that can make a play. I've certainly been around Kenny Atkinson a lot. I think Kenny Atkinson is a guy that would certainly add to the culture of this team. Kind of reminds me of when he was with the Nets, a team looking to try to take that next step. I think he'd be a great fit. Darvin Ham has been around a winning coach and a winning program in Atlanta and Milwaukee with Mike Budenholzer. Sean Sweeney's a guy that has always been on the radar as a next up guy, and they're doing great things in Dallas. When you look at the coaching search for Charlotte, what do you see if any of those guys are in the mix? And also, you know, could there be some other guy like a Frank Vogel, Terry Stotts? You know, because they got to make it work with LaMelo Ball and that kind of up and down transition flashy play that they have. What do you foresee, my man?
Right, I think that's it. They have to cast a wide net here. You can't just try to get a couple of candidates potentially and say, okay, we got two or three or four guys here, and that's going to be our man. I think they're going to try to just make this hire the right one, because this is very important for this franchise. LaMelo Ball has 2 years left. You know, it'll be his third season next year. So he's in that middle phase of contract status with his rookie contract to get an extension in a couple of seasons here. And you want to be able to make sure that he's happy and that he is playing a system that he likes and that things are working well in his favor. So that being the case, Mike D'Antoni, he turns, I believe, 71 on Sunday, May 8th. I'm not sure how you can go out there and potentially bring in somebody like him who might not be around for more than 2 or 3 years. So I think the Hornets have to get this right and have to have a coach they can have in place to be here for at least 4+ seasons. So with that being the case, to me, in my mind, this is my personal opinion, I think it'd be good for them to go out there and get a coach who was also a player in the NBA. You mentioned Darvin Ham is one of the guys who was on the radar of the interviewing. Me personally, I think an NBA player with coaching experience who has been a championship type level, who can come in and talk to these younger players about, hey, this is how we did it, not only when I was a player, but when I was with XYZ organization and we had success. So we're going to try to bring that success here and do it this way with a couple of adaptations. And if it doesn't work, then we'll figure it out. But I think, to me, that's the route they should go. I'm not sure if they will, but I don't think they can bring in a coach that doesn't have any kind of like cachet per se, because you just let go a coach in James Borrego, who was not only developing players well, but essentially had the organization kind of going incrementally up in the right direction over his fourth season that he was a coach here. So even though things crashed and burned in the play-in tournament game in both seasons the last 2 years in Indiana and then in Atlanta this year, they still were going in semi the right direction. So you can't bring in somebody in here like him previously, who was maybe not well-known, was some of my staff and kind of build things up. You got to bring somebody in here who knows how to win and is ready to win like now. And if you can't find that person, that's a serious problem, because you let go a coach who maybe could have got you one more year or something, but now that you want to reset, it's important for you to do this in a manner where you're going to have the person in place for more than just 2 or 3 years. You got to find the right person who you can build around and have here, and have the players buy into what he's trying to tell you, so that way you can kind of find a promised land per se.
I mean, look, I think you're spot on with Mike D'Antoni in the sense that, first of all, I think a lot of people around the league have always kept an eye on the Philadelphia 76ers situation. What's going to happen with how far they go in the playoffs if, let's say, Doc Rivers is let go and Philadelphia feels they need to make a change? Mike D'Antoni is certainly a guy that Many people around the league think would be on the radar there, given his relationship with Daryl Morey and James Harden, and the ability to work with an MVP candidate and Joel Embiid like that. That would be more of a finals contender on paper than Charlotte, which is in like this transition phase where they're trying to be a playoff team and improve with a young core. I think you're spot on with Darvin Ham and those guys as far as having a former player there. It's crazy. We're already like kind of talking about LaMelo looking ahead towards free agency. I mean, if you're Charlotte, when that time comes, you're going to have to throw that kid a max extension offer, hope he takes it, and then kind of go from there.
Absolutely.
But it's just crazy because even if you do that, you know, then you look at his future, you don't know. You got to keep him as happy as possible because it's so hard for teams like Charlotte and their markets to land these young rising stars like that. You know, at the end of the day, LaMelo Ball falling to them in the draft, I shouldn't say falling, but being there on the board for them, it changes everything from a box office perspective, the value of the team. You know, even if they are a fringe playoff team, this guy just became an all-star. Like there's a path for him here to continue ascending. And
yeah, the dude's doing commercials, man. I mean, when's the last play you saw from the Hornets doing national TV commercials? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I mean that LaVar Ball, nothing my son can't do. I'm not going to lie. It's hilarious. It gets me every time. With that said, I don't think LaVar Ball is going to coach the team. LaVar, you know, listen, man, he said it. Lonzo and LaMelo, you know, we're going to be two guys in the NBA. He proved to be right. I think he's kind of taking a step back now that they're in the NBA doing their thing a little bit. But that commercial certainly cracked me up. And I mean, Rod, as you know, we touched on LaMelo. Obviously, he's a core guy, but they're trying to build around him. So, you know, the next big thing you've got for Charlotte, Montrezl Harrell's free agency, and several executives I spoke to don't believe Montrezl Harrell will command the non-taxpayer mid-level exception range he previously commanded in free agency. Instead, they're viewing him as closer to a taxpayer mid-level exception guy or less. So that would be around $6 million or less. He's been on four teams in four seasons, and he could be headed for his fifth team in as many years if he leaves Charlotte this offseason. I was curious what you thought of Harrell when he was in Charlotte and if he's a guy that they could bring back or look to maybe upgrade more defensively at the center position.
I think actually he was good for them. It's weird because he's actually a player that the last couple of seasons, I actually thought would probably fit well with them because, first of all, he's from North Carolina. So when you're from the state and you're playing at home, essentially, a couple hours away, you get a chance to see your family and friends at the games all the time. He was in a different atmosphere in terms of just being at a place and a level where he was just happy. His kids were around. He was just thrilled. I feel like he gave him a little bit of toughness. He gave him some juice inside. Yeah, he's not great on defense, but he at least tries at times out there like some other guys, and it's like one of those things where he kind of, it's like they follow him. Like I remember LaMelo talking to him when they first got Montrez, and I was like, you know, what does he do? He's like, man, well, he plays defense a little bit out there. Like he want to kind of just do the same thing he's doing. He's out there barking. You know, he may not, again, be able to go out there and be an all-NBA defender, but he can give you spot moments, and the Hornets need that. So I think and you also have to remember that he was really good buddies with Terry Rozier. They were, you know, college teammates. So when you factor that in, you factor in the fact that I think he didn't think he was used the right way toward the end of the season. He didn't play very much against the Hawks in that playing game. He kind of voices his little bit of frustrations after the season was over. But with the coaching change coming in, with all those other factors, again, if the number is right and both sides think it's good to continue this partnership, I don't see why he wouldn't be a good fit for them coming back. But like you said, it depends on the market, depends on what the Hornets think he's worth, depends on what he thinks he's worth. And these things sometimes are, you know, things obviously we don't know about until we start negotiating. So I think personally, if they can find the right number to bring him back out of costing too much, I would bring him back in like a 2-year deal, maybe a 1-year deal with team option or player option, something like that. Kind of go from there to kind of see what he brings you, because he can definitely give you something that you were missing before you came.
And, you know, just as we kind of wrap up on Charlotte, I think only other couple of guys that pop into my mind, you know, PJ Washington is a guy that his name popped up in the Miles Turner trade packages when they were discussing him. I think PJ is a guy that his name's going to pop up in trade rumors this offseason. I think teams see him as a piece on Charlotte that they would like. And also, if you're Charlotte, he's a movable piece at that. You know, Cody Martin, I think, is going to be due a pay raise. He had a nice season with Charlotte. Isaiah Thomas being a free agent, I think they'd like to bring him back. They certainly had a nice record with him. Any thoughts on some of those guys as we kind of wrap up on Charlotte?
Yeah, you mentioned Cody Martin. He is one of the core players here on his team. So, again, depends on the new coach and what he thinks about him in terms of his overall game and what he brings to the team. But I know James Borrego, that was the first guy he brought off the bench pretty much every game as sixth man for defensive purposes especially. So I think barring something crazy, again, where the new regime doesn't want him or something like that, you know, they'll try to probably find common ground because the Hornets gave him his start along with his brother. Caleb was down in Miami doing his thing now. So I think he wants to be here. So, again, it just depends on numbers, situations. But he definitely could be re-signed. Isaiah Thomas, same thing with him. Just depends on just what both sides feel. But I know for a fact, I asked him several times after the season, during the season, why he wants to be back. You mentioned LaMelo Ball earlier. LaMelo likes him a lot. He thought that he helped him out. They have a little bit of a good rapport out there. So I think the Hornets, as you mentioned, it depends on just the cap number and space and what they want to do. But I believe of their own free agents, like I think if they could, they'd probably try to re-sign all of them. Again, depends on just the numbers for Miles and Montrezl Harrell, even Cody Martin. But they are all pieces that they feel like they can probably bring back. Just going to the only thing's going to be whether or not, again, a new coach comes in and wants to play differently or feels like he has pieces out there or maybe people he have is he tight with off the court that he maybe coach other places or knows and he wants to bring those guys in here. So it's going to be interesting either way, man. This is a big offseason for the Hornets because they have to take that next step by letting your coach go. It's so that you think you should take the next step. So if you don't bring the right coach in here and don't bring the right players and improve this roster, then it's going to be a lot of people who are wondering what happened this offseason come, you know, January, February of next year.
That's some good intel, Rod. I appreciate that insight on Isaiah Thomas with LaMelo Ball. See, folks, that's why you need to follow Rod Boone and his work at the Charlotte Observer to get that insight on the day-to-day for Charlotte. I appreciate you hopping on the line with me as always, my man. Wishing you and your family all the best. And I look forward to seeing you coming up here in Summer League and the other big events that we got coming up, my man.
That's right. Thanks for having me on, Mike. We'll be here before we know it. I looked at my calendar earlier and we're about 2 months away from Summer League, man. So it's crazy to even think about it, but we're almost there.
You already know. And I also want to thank everyone else for tuning in. If you want to hear more episodes of the Hoops High Podcast with guest appearances from NBA players, coaches, executives, and media members, you can like and subscribe to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. You can also keep up with my tweets on Twitter, at Mike Escato. Make sure you're following Rod Boone, too. He's at Rod Boone. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Scotto, wishing you and yours all the best.